Yeah, so the focus for this morning's practice is going to be on ourselves, self tonglen. And we're going to follow a particular structure that I learnt from Prakasha, so great debt to him. And it partly is aligned with the fact that I find it quite difficult to breathe in one kind of experience and breathe out another all on the same breath. So he tends to teach it that you focus on one thing and you breathe in, and then you focus on something else and you breathe out. Obviously, physically, you're not doing that. You realize that, don't you? Yeah. But just more like the direction, you know, you're just the emphasis on the direction and stuff is going in different stages. And the whole sort of cycle of this this practice is the from four Brahmaviharas, actually. You start off with a stage on metta and just being with yourself, being with your experience. Then you focus or you turn towards something that's unsatisfactory, unpleasant in your experience. And that's like the stage of karana. And then you're contacting joy, pleasure, things that are going well, like mudita, and just rejoicing in that. And then you're coming back into a more kind of open, broad awareness, like upekkha. So we'll do that that practice this morning, like that. And then this afternoon we'll do it again, and then we'll try and make it a little bit more kind of alchemical. I'm kind of thinking a bit about what Dharmashri said yesterday, when she said about, you know, if you can breathe in and the breath gets transformed as you breathe out, sort of thing. And we could just play around with that a little bit more. So in the 7-point mind training, you get the aphorism, or you get the slogan, begin the sequence of exchange with yourself. So we're starting here now. In the same way that if you look at the Vishuddhimagga, you'll see that the metta bhavana starts with oneself. And it is really worth checking in on the traditional texts, actually, and where these meditations are explained, so that we know where we've got our practices from. And I really love reading about the Brahmaviharas in the Vishuddhimagga, actually, because you hear the sort of like some of the difficulties we have with the metta bhavana arises, for instance, in the Vishuddhimagga. So it says things like, you know, follow the sequence of this, otherwise you will get weary. It's great to know, isn't it, that even in the Vishuddhimagga, it already noticed that if you get the sequence wrong and you don't just attend to yourself first, for instance, and just be with in what's supposed to be an easier stage and work up to the difficult, it'll be tiring and wearisome. So it's just worth looking at that, at the traditional descriptions of these practices. So in this practice we're going to be building up a strong relationship with ourself and our experience as it is right now. It's like engaging with a kind of intimacy with ourselves, and in a way trying to go a bit deeper in our experience, so that it's not just an idea or it's not just a conceptual sort of engagement with our experience. It's because when we're just thinking about what our experience is, or we've got an acknowledgement, a conceptual acknowledgement of what's going on, then we haven't really quite come into relationship with what's actually happening, who we really are now. So this is more like entering into the feelings and the emotions that are going in, that are part of our experience. So it requires us to kind of come into our heart. You could use that expression, come into our heart. Or it might be a different place. It could be coming into our seat. Prakasha said at one point in one of his presentations, the promise of Tonglen is that there are no feelings that cannot be resolved. Which is very beautiful, isn't it? And then he said in a previous presentation, we are nourished by the truth. And I think we probably learn that over and over again, that if we actually finally are able to experience what's actually going on, even though it's unpleasant, it's actually very nourishing. Even though we'd resisted it and thought it would be easier if we just didn't go there, once we go there, it's actually very, well, it's very nourishing. And there's something very stilling about that. There's that image of the bee, isn't there, buzzing around a flower, and it's making a lot of noise, sort of buzzing about, quite busy. And it's only when it arrives and settles on the nectar that it stops making the noise. And that is a little bit like us. We buzz around, slightly distracting ourselves and resisting. But once we've settled, it's very nourishing. The nectar is there. Vidyamala teaches a particular model that she calls blocking and drowning, which I find very, very helpful. And it's a model that we use a little bit in the Taraloka community to think about how we're working with ourselves. So some of us block experience or kind of minimalize our experience, minimalize our emotions or our feelings. And some of us drown in our experience and over-identify with the feelings or the emotions. And neither of these poles, if you like, really give us true contact with the actual experience. So I think if you're a blocker, then you need to be willing to really approach yourself. And I sometimes use the expression for myself and for others, it's like wooing a shy animal. You're trying to draw a shy animal out of a hole or out of the wildness. And you have to be very quiet and patient and kind and quite still in a way for that deeper level of experience to arrive. And if you're a drowner, or yes, if your tendency is to drown in experience, then it's good to just open out into a broader sense of yourself. And just recognize you have this strong need to identify with that particular experience, whatever it is. And then just see if you can go underneath that. Why do you need to do that? And what is all that about? And what's really going on? And again, you're back into wooing a quite a shy creature. So in the next stage, we're going to turn more specifically towards what is unsatisfactory in our experience. And just holding that within a kind of kind, open awareness. A patient understanding. So this could be just a simple, well, I say simple, but yeah, simple physical pain. Or it could be a painful view or emotion that we have around ourselves. Or it could be a tension that we're experiencing in our lives. Or it could just be whatever's showing up right now that we're finding difficult to be with. And if there's quite a lot going on, then that's enough. You just, you know, just work with that, relate with that, relate to that. If you feel that it would be better to have a bit more material, then you can contemplate, or rather like Yashobhodi was getting us to do last night, actually, you can just explore and contemplate just simply the human condition as it is. So that's looking at experience in a more kind of panoramic, sort of universal way. We are all impermanent, and that's already showing up. How is that showing up, that impermanence in us? just reflecting on our own impermanence, or the way unsatisfactoriness is showing up in our experience, in a very general way that's just very broad and universal. These truths, just really see if we can stand in relationship to those truths in a very wholesome way. I think, yes, it is interesting, the sort of details of impermanence. I know that as I've been getting older in the last, maybe in the last 8 years, 6 years, just the texture of my skin is changing hugely, and I notice that a lot. And I sometimes hardly recognise that size myself, and I've been thinking, gosh, you see, you know, the skin as an organ is ageing. And then I try and reflect all my organs are aging in that way on the inside. You know, that's the skin's an organ on the outside. And the texture's changing, the elasticity is changing, the quality of muscle is changing. And just to sort of bear witness to that in as whole way as I can. I've also had a lot of thyroid problem over the last, gosh, I think it might be 4 years, actually, I'm not sure. And I had an overactive thyroid that showed up on a retreat in Germany that I was leading with Kula Prabha over New Year. And I spent a night in hospital while they worked out why my heart was doing what it was doing and why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And it turned out to be simply I was had an overactive thyroid, which takes an awful long time for them to get under control with various drugs. And then I had to get my thyroid zapped by radiotherapy, demolished, and then start it, and then another load of drugs that I just take for the rest of my life. And it's very, very interesting to realise you're taking drugs for the rest of your life. And you're facing a kind of existential reliance that is very unpleasant and scary. It's like I'm beginning to understand my body is held together with just strings almost, you know? You get that flavour, a bit like the Buddha says, you know, my body is held together by whatever he said. I can't remember now. Just these... and also I'm just lucky enough to live in a society where I don't pay for the drugs, and where they are readily available. Otherwise, I would be in a very, very different existential situation. Yeah. Anyway, so turning towards those sort of universal truths of impermanence and unsatisfactoriness. And we're just breathing that in, breathing that in. Try and take it into our heart, take it into our experience. And then we're turning towards what is pleasurable, pleasant in our experience. And just spending the same amount of time doing this stage as you did the previous stage. So don't neglect the obvious. If it's actually just simply pleasurable sitting in silence, enjoy that, breathe that in. If there's just a sense of ease in the body, or that there's a particular physical pain that's just let up for the moment, just enjoy that. Or maybe there's the pleasure of just sitting with friends meditating, or the recollection of friends and the appreciation of friends can just be very, very pleasurable. The love that they have for you, the love that you have for them. Just take pleasure in that. Enjoy that. You could reflect on the overall safety of your life. We live in an incredibly safe and stable society in the West, and just breathe that in. It's a sheer luxury and privilege in comparison to many places on this world. So just take your place in that. Breathe that in. And then, of course, you're breathing in this pleasure, you're breathing in this appreciation, and then you're breathing it out. You're letting it go. And that doesn't mean you're giving it up. Just, it doesn't mean that it will soon become, it won't be yours. It's just more like there's a lightness to your experience, there's a lightness to touch. You're not clinging. In a way, that's what it is, isn't it? You're not clinging to that experience. You're not solidifying around that experience. There's In one of the recent papers that Subhuti and Sangharaksha brought out, Subhuti talks a bit about renunciation, and at some point he talks about how we shore ourselves up with objects and possessions, and probably other things as well, views, emotions, and how that solidifies into who we are. It's a really fabulous description of how we kind of become encrusted almost with who we think we are in a way that then becomes very difficult to move out of. So this quality of letting go is to keep experience loose and flowing, not solidified into one thing or another. And we can use the image or metaphor of breathing out white light, or we could follow Yesha Bodhi's instruction last night to breathe out the colour of our yidam. That could also be very beautiful. And then in the fourth stage, we're just resting in a more simple, open experience, a simple, open awareness. Just absorbing the whole practice. Resting back into the qualities of awareness, like clarity, just, you know, knowledge of what we're experiencing right now. The openness and fluidity of our experience, of our mind. And the sensitivity in which we're feeling our experience, the sensitivity in which we're relating to ourselves. Just see if you can sit back in that awareness and allow it just to, well, just sort of lean into it. Sit back, lean into it. Just allow it to support you in your practice. Just allow it to contain your experience. And your yidam can be present throughout. You can start the whole practice with just visualizing a particular Buddha or Bodhisattva, and then just bringing him into your heart area, so that that yidam's breathing with you, or you're breathing through your yidam, or whatever. And you can just use also whatever arises as the, you know, just take, we'll take the path as the process in a way. Sorry, I'm saying that wrong. Take the process as the path. Just use whatever's showing up as what is needing to be done. So if you think you're moving on into this experience and then this experience becomes that, just see what it's like then to move into that experience and use that as the thing that you're working with. And you're sort of circling or cycling through these stages maybe several times during the meditation. It's not like you just got first stage, the second stage, the fourth stage, third stage, fourth stage. It's more like one experience, you might cycle all the way through the stages, and then there's another experience, and then you do it again. So you're sort of cycling through it. At the end, you can just sit in silence and maybe just let go of any merits. Just dedicate any of your merits to all beings. And dissolve your yidam if you've been using that as a practice.